Sometimes we come to the church and we're like, ugh, something's heavy on my heart. And so I just wanted to put that out to you. I'm going to be right out there if you need any prayer or anything. And so that you don't go to your small groups and you're like, bleh, to like all of your people. You can do that with me and I'm safe. Okay. All right. So we are in chapter 2 of Nehemiah. How many of you did your homework? I did my homework too, and I thought it was a pretty good. It's very thorough, isn't it? I feel like it is super, it's thorough. It just covers everything, and so putting together a message, truthfully, this week was kind of difficult for me, you know, because I don't want to just keep repeating things that you have already done in your homework, and then you go to your small group, and for a third time have to, like, talk about it again and listen to people about the same subject. So I am going to share with you some of the lessons that the Lord was speaking to me about going through this week. And so hopefully they will minister to you. And so what I thought first was, before I even got into the second chapter, the very end of the first chapter, it says something so odd. It says, now I was the cupbearer to the king. And, the first chapter was all about this prayer, and then all of a sudden, blurb, and then so oftentimes after that little blurb, I just am like, all right, whatever, and then I just keep going. And so I was thinking, well, what is a cupbearer? And so technically, a cupbearer is the person who presents the king with his food and drink after he has taken a sip or a bite of it to make sure it wasn't poisoned. So here's this, like, you know, this is a pretty crazy position to be had, and people wanted this job. I mean, it was in the palace, it was in the presence of the king, it was prestigious. It was lucrative, it was a good paying job, and so it was like this really high ranking position. And then I was thinking about where Nehemiah started. Where he was. Here is this Israelite who wasn't in Persia because he wanted to be. He wasn't in Persia because he was, you know, I thought I'd like check out this land over here. He was a captive. They went and they took him and all of his people and brought them to a foreign land. They were aliens, a different language, a different culture. And so a lot of times foreigners, you know, weren't esteemed very high in society. And so here, he was brought up, probably because of his character, one step at a time. I'm sure it wasn't all of a sudden he was chosen to be the cupbearer to the king. He probably worked up his way to cupbearer. And so the first lesson to me, God showed me that regardless of my past, God always has a future for me. Thank God that my future it's not tainted because of my past. That doesn't define me, all of that stuff. And I know that most of us have a past, and we don't really need to talk about that. And I'm so glad that my tomorrow doesn't depend on my yesterday, because today is in the middle of that, and today is a new day. Today, God reigns in my heart, in my life, and today changes tomorrow. I don't have to try to be anybody that I'm not, you know. Nehemiah, he didn't conform to all of Persia's deals, that he didn't take on their gods or their customs and things like that. He was true. He was a faithful Jew to his almighty God. And so we don't have to be somebody that compromises. And so here's a perfect example that God is the one that promotes. God is the one that elevates and exalts any man he chooses. And so that was just really comforting to me about being a cupbearer. And so then I was also just kind of sat in cupbearing. And I just kept thinking about it. And if you're a cupbearer, you are with the king breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so You are with the king a lot, and you are not only in close proximity with the king, but over time, whether you like the person or not, you are going to become closely acquainted with them too, and you're going to hear, you know, and see and get to know their ins and their outs. And I think at one point the king let his guard down, probably with Nehemiah in his presence. And when that happens, and when you're in the close proximity of somebody, you are privy to privileged information. So he knew privileged information. He was privileged to know these plans of the kings, his rulings, like what was okay, or who was being knighted, or who was being their head chopped off or something, I don't know. But he knew, he was in the presence of the king, and so he knew what was happening in the kingdom. And he was trusted with all of that information. He was trusted, he was a trusted confidant of the king. And along with that, I'm sure that he had an opportunity to share his opinion at some point or another. We know that Nehemiah was full of knowledge and wisdom, because he didn't just wake up one day and was the cupbearer. You know, he probably worked his way up through the government and different whatevers. And I know that true knowledge and wisdom comes from where? God, the fear of God. That's where it starts. And so he had the fear of the Lord. He also had humility. He held this man's life in esteem higher than his own, and he was courageous with every single bite, with every single gulp. He was courageous. He put his life on the line, you know, three times a day, and he had godly character. He had integrity. Integrity, I mean, adherence to your beliefs and morals, no matter what is happening around you. He had an adherence to his beliefs and morals. And I think as he climbed this ladder and as he held this position, he learned a lot about government and logistics and delegation and how things worked. And I think that it is so cool that God is not a wasteful God, and all of the things that he is learning, he will soon get to implement in Jerusalem, really soon. And so the second lesson to me was, what kind of cupbearer am I going to be? And so I'm going to ask you, what kind of cupbearer are you going to be? And I know we bear lots of cups to all of our kids, you know, and they go through 100 cups a day. But that's not, because I'm going to teach them how to deal with the cups themselves one day. But by cupbearer, I mean we have the privilege of being in close proximity to someone on a regular basis. And that very well could be our children, our husbands, our coworkers, our friends, the person you sit next to on the bus, whatever it might be. But that person that you are with closely, regularly, and it's a privilege. And we have to make sure that it's purposeful as well. It's a God-appointed time. And so in that time, I want to be a cupbearer that is a trusted person. I want to be someone's confidant. When they tell me something, it's in confidence. I don't go and blab as much as you think I do. I don't. And I want to remain that way. I don't want to tell anybody. And I want to have that reputation. I want to have that reputation. And I think that Nehemiah already had this reputation. He didn't all of a sudden prove himself once he was there. He already proved himself in the kingdom, and that's why he was chosen to be the cupbearer. I also want to, when asked, I want to share my opinion, and I want to share it honestly, and I want to share it with grace, because you know Nehemiah, he shared the truth when and if asked, but he did it with respect and honor. But I do believe that he did say things that he really felt when asked. I want to speak the truth in love. And a lot of times, we blow each other out of the water. Iron sharpens iron, definitely. But I feel as years go on, we need to be getting better at that. And when iron sharpens iron, we can like, hi-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya. I mean, we can get ninja on someone, and it's crazy. You know, and you're like, oh, just sharpening you, you know, and you can just, you know, or you can go in with a scalpel, and you can do like a really nice surgery with care and with gentleness. And that's what we need to shoot for. That's what I think will bear more fruit. You know, no one likes to be sliced and diced, and then I'm not going to do anything you want me to do because you just killed me, you know. But if someone can go in and sharpen me with a really sharp scalpel nicely, I will respond so much better to that. And so we should be getting better at this as years go by. We need to be wise, but also humble. And so there's a balance. There's a balance because I know a lot of wise guys, and they think they're really wise, and they act like it, and you just get prideful. We need to remain humble as well. And along with that, we need to remain teachable. I want to remain teachable. I haven't gotten it all figured out by no means at all. And I know I'm going to mess up. And I know I'm going to let you and 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 you down at some point. And I'm sorry. But I want to remain teachable. So we breathe life into one another. And sometimes that means that we need to remain correctable as well. Somehow, some way, when we get to be, I don't know, moms or whatever, sometimes we have this attitude of like, now I'm a grown-up, and I am no longer a child nor correctable, and that is not the case. We are all God's kids, and no matter how old or young you are, we are correctable, and we're going to do something wrong until we meet Jesus face to face. So those are the things, that's the type of cupbearer I want to be. Okay, chapter 2. So here we are. In the month of Nisan, and this is 4 months past the time when Nehemiah received word from his brother about the ruins of the wall in Jerusalem. It's been 4 months since he's gotten kicked on his butt, mourning, praying, and fasting. So he's been gotten that news that just killed him, and like the breath, like the air was just knocked right out of him, and it's been 4 long months. And but I love how that it said after this prayer in chapter 1, it did say, and I was the cupbearer to the king. I just thought that was so cool because then I thought, I think you're telling me this because you're letting us know that even though this happened to my heart, I still was faithful to go to work. I still was faithful to get the job done. And I still carried on. And so that's another reason. So I love that, you know, it didn't say that he took a leave of absence. It didn't say that he called in sick. I don't think he went to work a snotty mess. And he remained reliable, dutiful, committed. And he did his job, and he did his job well. But we do know that Nehemiah wasn't some sort of superhero. But he did pray to a super God, right? And we see that that's what he did. He mourned, and he fasted, and he prayed. And that's all I hear. That's all I see. And he went to work. And so God gave him everything he needed to carry out what it is that God had on his plate at that time. And so for me, lesson number 3 is that I need to press on. I need to press on. And I think last year that was our like verse of the year for the schools. And so it's just on my heart, and we need to press on, because I mean, we all are. I know many of you right now are in that, you know, break your knees sort of situation right now where you are devastated or you are suffering or you know somebody close that is. you're going through the trial, the storm, or that adversity, and so you may be facing that. And so, for me, remain reliable. God is challenging me. Remain reliable, ready to follow through. Ready. Because God, with God, all things are possible, right? Yeah. All things are possible. We also need to stay in prayer. And that is the key. That's the only way we're going to do it. Because if we're trying and striving and working hard at whatever it is, it's not going to work because it's not by my might. It's not by my power. It's by His Spirit that we're going to be able to do any of it. So we need to be in prayer as we press on. All right, and so then, after 4 months of sitting at the Lord's feet in prayer and fasting and mourning and receiving the strength to carry on and I'm sure at this time for 4 months he's receiving vision, you know, this burden in his heart started to take structure, and he started to see like what needed to happen and how it needed to happen and how it could come into fruition. And so this vision started to really like take place. And I think as he's sitting at the Lord's feet, he's also just saying, okay, Lord, just open the door. Like, give me the green light. Like, how do you want this to be? And I admire his patience. I admire his patience that he didn't have to go in and like knock on the door and say, hey, I've got an idea. You know, he just waited patiently. And I don't know about this morning, but one of the mornings he woke up and he went to work. And it was different than all the other mornings in that 4 months of going to work. He went into work and he's broken. He's broken. And haven't you had those days where you're like, you're trying and then you just, it's just done. And you just can't. Okay? And this is happening to Nehemiah. And he just can't hold it together. And as I was reading that and I was just thinking about it, I was like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's breaking. That there's evidence in the word that there's a really cool, strong, manly, godly guy who's got a soft heart who breaks. Because it makes this person so much more relatable. So much more like, oh, that's the example I want to follow. Like, okay, so now he's broken. What are we going to do about it? And I love that. And so we all break the same. It just sometimes it takes longer than, you know, for some than the others. And so praise the Lord for weaknesses, for failures, for falling flat on our face, for the struggles that we have. But you know, that's when God can really shine. That's when God can show off. You know, when we are down and he like shows up and he turns everything back to where it should be. And he gives us right perspective, and he shines through it, and he's glorified, and that's where he wants to be. He wants to just be glorified. And in our weakness, and in our struggles, and in our brokenness, and in our, you know, our frailties, he is strong. There's nothing worse than, you know, if we're reading a book, and there's this guy who just keeps succeeding, and succeeding, and succeeding, and succeeding, and succeeding, and all of a sudden, they're like in fantasy land, and you're like, okay, I need a different book. You know, it's just like, please, you know, come back down to my reality. And so we see here in Nehemiah and what's happening here, and so he's, what's happening in his heart and in his head is now happening in his face. Praise God. And I understand that quite well. And like, so, you know, and so now that he's doing this, though, in front of the king, and the king calls him on it, and I don't know how he said this, like, oh, you're, you know, I don't know if he meant, like, oh, I see you're so sad, and it's definitely a sad heart, you know, was he, like so sensitive when he was saying that, or was he, like, I see you're sad, like, in my presence, in this is all, I don't know how he said it, but either way, Nehemiah, it struck fear in his heart so much that he even wrote about it in his diary that he was fearful. And so I admire that as well. And the homework was pretty good about talking about this fear and just how you're not allowed to be fearful in the king's presence, and because he's amazing. And but in the moment when he was called on his sadness, when he was called on the thing that was illegal, when he was called on the thing that was not acceptable, when he was called on the very thing that would get him in trouble, I love that he didn't cower. I am so grateful that he was not paralyzed by his fear, or that he didn't say, nothing, just forget it, and he like put a smile on his face. And we are so good at that, aren't we? We are so good at just like, oh, someone actually saw the truth? Someone actually saw me? Forget it. And I'm gonna, you know, become that robot again. And we are conditioned to do that, but he didn't, and I admire his authenticity. And we need to do that more often. Nehemiah, in the moment, he knew that it was his for such a time as this moment. Right now, I've got to press through this fear and do what I came here to do, to say what the Lord has put on my heart, what I know for sure that the Lord has put on my heart, and I'm going to press on through it. And we have all had those times where, like, every cell in our body is saying, don't do it, run, don't say it, you know, you're going to die, you know, but you know down deep in your heart that the Lord, the Spirit, is moving you, and maybe it's just to say, Jesus loves you, you know, because that's embarrassing maybe, or, you know, whatever it might be, and we have this quickening in our heart. We've got to press on, and we have to do that. The Spirit is telling us. And he recognized in the moment that this was his go time, that this was the green light that he had been waiting for from God Almighty. And for us to feel that nudge from the Lord, we need to be in tune with him. We need to be walking in the Spirit. We're either walking in the Spirit or we're walking in the flesh. There's no, like, middle ground there. We're either, you know, like, going towards the Lord, or we're going backwards. Like, we're either, you know, getting closer to the Lord or backsliding. There is no in between. And so we need to be walking in the Spirit. And I feel like the only way that I know how to do that is to be prayerful, to be talking about the Holy Spirit, and to be talking about what he's done, the praise reports, and, you know, that he's on our lips. We need to be, it says in Thessalonians, to be praying without ceasing. And if we're praying, I feel like you're already saying, here, Jesus, have access. Lead, guide, and show. I'm ready. And so for lesson number 4 to me is, don't let fear control me. I don't want fear to control what I do. I don't want fear to control what I don't do. I don't want fear to control what I say or what I don't say. I don't want to be bound by my fear. I don't want to be suffocated by my fear or be immobile by my fear. Because all of that, it can, I mean, so many times, you know, they talk about the fight or flight, you know, thing. And I think fear just makes you paralyzed. It just is like, and you just, you know, you're stuck. And so we need to, we don't want to let fear control us. When we allow fear to rule us, we make fear more powerful than God. Don't we? When we allow fear to rule us, we make fear more powerful than our Almighty God. And my God is bigger than my trial, my storm, the unknown. He's bigger than that. He knows the unknown. He's got it. He knows it all. He's bigger than my mess up, and he's bigger than the punishment. He's bigger than the pain. He's bigger than the hurt. He's bigger than man's plans, whether they're good or bad. He's bigger than those. His plans are what goes. He's the master. He doesn't have to fit into my reality. You know, I think I've got it. I think I see it all. I think I know what's going to happen if. He's bigger than the if. He's bigger than the if. We have to keep our eyes on him and walk through the doors that he opens. Be obedient at all cost. It's about the obedience, isn't it? It's about the obedience. And we should be obedient at all costs. Like Peter, he was told to step out of the boat and go walk on water. And he did. He kept his eyes on his Christ. He stepped out of the boat and walked. He was not bound by his fear. He was not tied up. He was not immobile or paralyzed. He was like, okay, like, that's crazy. He was doing something absolutely supernatural, and he went for it. In Romans 8:37, it says, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." Ladies, we have victory in Christ. We have victory in Christ. Regardless of the outcome, we already have won. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this portion of scripture, Lord, how you can take your word and it's alive, it's living, and it goes where it wants to penetrate hearts, it changes minds, it softens us, it convicts us, it challenges us, it prods us. Thank you so much that you care so much about us to speak to us through your word. We are all equipped with the Bible, and we are all equipped with homework. And it is your desire to meet us every single week, daily. And we can spend time. We could be your cupbearer. God, we just want to thank you so much that we even have that privilege, that opportunity, Lord, to just come near you. And that there is no veil. We can come boldly. Thank you. Lord, I ask that you would put a special blessing on these ladies here tonight, God, and I ask that you would use these small groups to continue to speak volumes to them, Lord, speaking and sharing about glorious things. In Jesus' name, amen.